Blog Talk Radio.
Hang on. Now, usually, I like playing a theme that reminds me of a rebellion. I like playing a theme for which I'm really loyal to. And I'm just going to remind the host for the most where I stand. Not that it matters, because I'm just a future little mark, correct? But here's the thing. Let me clarify one thing. This show is all about loyalty, right? So I'm going to play something. Stop babbling. Play something that actually means something to fans, okay? Some of you may laugh, but I don't give a crap. Okay, so the loyalty played longer than almost 45 seconds. I did say in the description of the episode that I was going to briefly discuss SmackDown Live and what stood out to me. You know what? I was impressed last night with Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler's probably match of the night candidate, as far as I'm concerned. And that's just opinion-based. It's not, it's match of the night because so-and-so source said so. No, look. First fall, super kick. Second fall, Bobby Roode got. Third fall, Bobby Roode obviously won. But the only thing really shitty about that was the after-work promo. Afterwards promo, when Renee got in the ring and asked him what's going on. And, it's basic. It's generic. And it got the point across. But you can tell without Jacobs. Yeah. Whoever's writing that, I don't know what's going on, but starting to look a little bit like Monday Night Raw, the predictability end of it. The other interesting aspect of SmackDown Live was the Stranger of Things by Breezango. That was pretty funny. So now Shinsuke Nakamura joins Randy Orton and Shane McMahon. The team are on Team SmackDown Live. I don't know how you would grade SmackDown Live other than the fact that it wasn't as grand as we all expected it to be. It was just, here it is. I think it'll get a little spicier as the show goes along, or as the weeks progress, my bad. So, aside from watching what transpired between Kevin Owens and Shinsuke, it's a pretty decent match. Jinder Mahal attacked AJ Styles. Baron Corbin blatantly disrespected Sin Cara, finally got Sin Cara to get off his ass and do something. But there's nothing, I'm not going to say it, but the dude entertains, but SmackDown Live was kind of an in-between. I wouldn't say it was terrible. I think there's nothing that really stood out to me, and you need those shows because you'd have some form of reserve later on when your show goes into Survivor Series week. But speaking of which, another show that gets more and more credit for its growing popularity is NXT. NXT TakeOver War Games in Houston, Texas. I can guarantee you what you're going to see hope would be a decent women's match for the smack or the NXT Women's Division Championship. Nikki Cross will be involved. Kairi Sane. Peyton Royce. Oh man, what Ember Moon. That's going to be an interesting match to say the least. Also, a good quality draw would be Drew McIntyre defending his NXT championship against Siamus Andrade with his advocate or his valet by his side. For the life of me, I cannot remember or recall her name, but she is going to play a factor, kind of like Sensational Sherry back in the day. You might see an upset for that NXT championship, just so you can bring flavor to NXT. Also, the tag team championships will be on the line. Authors of Pain will face Sanity in a rematch, not just at a TakeOver, but they're going to face them, I believe, tonight on NXT Live. You can catch it on the network, only $9.99 a month. Anyways, moving forward, or backwards, if you will, SmackDown Live looks to be very promising. It's a new flavor. I guess you could add Shinsuke to the mix for a Team SmackDown Live, although I wish Sami Zayn would have been a part of the team, in my opinion, for that is, how many years has he been in the company? And I know that he's been looked at, but they just don't see it, and that's kind of sad. As far as the rest of SmackDown Live, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, very talented team going after the Usos and their tag team championships. And they've been on hot pursuit, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe it might be a good move to take the titles off the Usos. Depends on how the booking goes for that. So overall, what did I rate SmackDown? I give it a C. It wasn't that grand. Some fans would be like, I don't see what was wrong with it. You didn't see what was wrong with SmackDown, and neither did I, because like I said, they need an in-between show. They just give it a C because my quality is different than some fans' qualities, okay? Some fans, they like different brand of show, like, okay? Like the Invasion angle, okay, more power to you. I haven't seen that many people get beat up since 2001 when the Alliance invaded WWE. That was some crazy, crazy stuff going on back in the day, and it was not uncommon to see brawls out in the backstage area. But that doesn't make a wrestling show. So, yesterday, I got onto the hot topic of discussing Keep It Professional. There's two examples that I can use or more. I know they probably won't want me to use their names, but actually, they could give a crap less because they're making money and they're making fans happy. So here's the thing. First example I'm going to use before I dig into the off-the-rails segment, and no, it's not the whole entire show because I can break it down fairly quickly if I wanted to. But then the show would end in 10 minutes. Don't want to disappoint the listeners. So for those of you who tuned in to Monday Night Raw, you saw a lot of returns. You saw JoJo, the ring announcer, return. You saw Bo Dallas return. You saw Nia Jax become the first pick of Alicia Fox's Raw women's team. So this is going to be highly interesting, is what crossed my mind, because Nia had previously taken a step back and said she was leaving, you know, just to take a breather, just to sort things out in her head. And some of you sat there and said, she left the company, she left the company. Again, jumping the gun isn't the most professional thing to do as a news source. And am I jumping out at you guys? Kind of, sort of, because read before you report. That's what I always do. The source I was watching last night, Wrestling News Company, WrestlingNews.co, he got three or four sources before he confirms things and writes in an article. That's how you keep it professional, ladies and gentlemen. Just much love and a shout-out to him, because I was watching his live feed, asked him questions, a very nice guy, very professional. There's ways that Nia could have handled it wrong and handled it properly. How do I know? Let's see. If I didn't agree with something in the wrestling business, I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat shit because it appeases someone's ears. However, you know, if I'm just new in the promotion, kind of have to, not sugarcoat, but keep your, you know, keep my mouth shut. Why? Because I'm putting myself on the map. I am making a first impression, and if they think, oh, gee, he's a loudmouth, we know exactly what to do with those. As a manager, that's kind of a death wish, because we're already are low on the totem pole, because it's a mindset. If you're not satisfied with what you are in the business and you know the position you're in is not satisfactory, it's just like a job. You try it out, you grind it out, and if it's not for you, bye, Felicia. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. That's exactly kind of the formula that Nia went by. She asked someone that's reputable in the business, according to source WrestlingNews.co, she asked her cousin Nia, or her cousin Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, hey, should I leave and is it justified? She didn't quit. She just said, I'm taking some time off. I'm not going to be at certain shows. You do what you want. I think that was the right decision made by Nia Jax. And I stand by what I say about yesterday. When you make an impression on fans, it is long-lasting. And she was extremely friendly. Granted, I'm pretty sure, you know, fans can say what they want about different people. They're like, oh, you know, this person was rude to me. Oh, that person was rude. How do you keep it professional as a fan? Just don't say anything to them. You walk away because you don't want to make a spectacle of yourself. I'm not afraid. No, I'm really not afraid of Sasha Banks. Why? Because I know that she does not sign autographs outside of an assigned signing. That's, you know, how am I being professional by listing out her faults? Look, I'm not listing out faults. It's the truth. And this isn't according to any source. This is according to personal experience. You know, when you're in not just Brooklyn, when you're in anywhere, and I know that an airport's not an appropriate place. I don't do that shit. But what I'm telling you is, if you're irritated with fans, why are you in the business? You can keep that shit to yourself, because people will say, oh, keyboard warriors, oh, people on a podcast to give you a voice, so therefore you have nothing better to do with your time. Well, if we are the ones showing up to the show, all you owe us is a good show. That's all I ask as a fan. And if I wanted your, if I want an autograph and I really enjoy your work, cool. I'll come up to you and I will ask you for your autograph politely. Now, Joey Ryan, the encounter with him, said you have to buy something in order to get a picture with me. That's fair, because he's appearing. He's taking time out of his schedule to come and perform for whatever, you know, price that the promoter gives him, right? Whatever price the promoter accustoms Joey Ryan to. But I'm betting you $100 that he wouldn't be a nice guy if he didn't tell me that my money was in the pocket that I placed. And that's embarrassing to admit this, but I will tell you this. Candice LeRae is also pretty cool. I can list off names of who's cool and who's not, but that's not what I'm here to discuss with you all. Professionalism. It still exists. Obviously, Sasha would not have a job if she wasn't professional. But she, you know, to focus on one person isn't quite fair, is it? I mean, because there's been other people in the past and now that really didn't pertain to fans. And by that, I mean there are certain superstars. They're great in the ring. They're professional, up and down, do everything to the letter, to a T. They don't say shit. They work hard, and they get where they need to be. But what am I getting at, guys? If you're rude and you express it, you know, during an interview, you say yourself, she said herself, I'm irritated because I want to enjoy myself after the fact I get off the plane. I understand that. I want to enjoy myself. I want to go out to eat, or I want to go have a nice time. I want to relax. Yeah, because you're on the road so many days a year. I don't pretend to know what you feel, sweetie, but I do know that traveling locally is different than traveling every single night and finding a rental car, finding a hotel, finding a place where fans won't harass you. You think I don't know about that? Keep it professional. What is the number one code that we as workers live by, right? It's to entertain the fans, or is it to make money more so than to make a friend? Chief J. Strongbow said to Scott Hall a long time ago, he said, you can either be in this business for, you know, all the friends, or you can make money. Some guys and gals take that as that piece of advice and, you know, interpret it differently. What I'm here to tell you is, if you can maintain some form of decorum with fans and entertain, then you are by far, in my book, one hell of a competitor. Now, some say, why isn't, you know, why is Sasha the main focus? Yeah, you know, there's other people that don't sign autographs because they're kind of in a hurry to do stuff, and they don't have necessarily all the time in the free world to stop by and sign your shit. I get that aspect. What I'm trying to say is, it's not just about autographs. It's how you present rejection, too. If you are a professional, and not just in WWE, you deal with all kinds of annoying-ass people. Oh, my God, Cody, you're my favorite Bullet Club member. You're just too sweet. Now, granted, you know, they smile about it. They take pictures of them because you want a fan. You want people to give you a certain aspect, you know, a certain outlook on life. And you want people to give you an impression, or to be left with an impression, right? So how do you do that? Start off locally, then you go bigger? Or do you keep your certain snob traits when you go into the, you know, into the big leagues, right? So here's the deal. You try so hard to make an impression. You try so hard not to be, you know, you keep track of your social media. Now, how do you direct attention away from yourself if you made a fool of yourself? You hope to God and pray to God someone else screws up so that covers what you did. Well, in Leo Rush's case, he managed to not do just that. He hadn't been in the company for, what, almost barely a year, and he's making comments on Twitter already. Seriously, I find it funny because if you look at him, he comes from the indies. He's had stellar matches, right? He's very professional. Those of you, you know, you say you don't even know these matches, you're right, I don't give a fuck, because here's the thing. That kid went into a match, had some spot off a ladder, did not sell, and yet he's in a company through which got on to him about it, and now he goes and makes a comment about Emma leaving the company. Now, what if it were Alexa Bliss? What if it were Nia Jax that actually left the company? Do you know how much that's going to sting corporate? It's going to sting a lot, because now you have a kid that, you know, spouted off the mouth and didn't really care until the company got on his ass to apologize. It shouldn't take a company to make you apologize, but I guess it takes a company to tell you, hey, here's a statement you should release. Here's how we want you to release it. To me, that's a crock of shit, because if you tweet something, now it's under a complete microscope. Now everybody in the universe, not just WWE, will pay attention and they will laugh at you. Or they can roast you for having no professionalism like Peyton Royce did. Peyton Royce basically, like, I'm going to repeat the tweet that she stated, you know, whenever her fellow countryman Emma left, okay? Because I don't like just misquoting someone's awesomeness, okay? They said, I'm sorry for the pause, folks, but it is kind of funny up in here. It says, wow, kid, didn't you just get here? Professionalism goes a long way. Now, what is the main theme titled on Off the Rails Uncensored? Keep it professional. Mind you, this is kind of hard to do in that company because there's been a lot of unprofessionalism, not just that incident. And I could list them like little bitch, but here's the thing, what I'm going to do. What you say does impact a variety of people, because not only the NXT audience paid attention to what you said, sir, but Emma, Peyton Royce, not just those two, but the entire wrestling community. Some may have laughed because they claim they're not WWE fans. They're just trolls that just sit on a page and say, I appreciated it years ago when it was worthwhile watching. Get the fuck out of here. You guys, that's another thing. You want to keep it professional? I call it like I see it, because I see tons of people popping up in chat rooms, on Twitter, on Facebook, trying to add their little two cents in, and it gets annoying. Why? Because they don't have any facts to back it up, nor do they quote directly from the source itself or themselves. So how do you get a point across to a group of people that you barely know? Lio Rush basically, like I said, he's a great talent. Obviously, NXT wouldn't have picked his ass up if they didn't care. But seeing as how what he said is just as bad as the dude who made a comment about being a curtain jerk a long time ago in NXT, does anybody remember him at all, point blank period? I mean, I know that Josh Matthews went to NXT, right? And he definitely tried out tough enough and didn't make it. Because he's an idiot and he asks stupid questions. And he ended up in TNA, which now is Impact Wrestling, and that has, you know, nothing to do with what we're just... But when you are unprofessional and you don't understand the ins and outs and you don't want to keep learning, there's no way you can get a definite answer in wrestling whether something's right or wrong, because they'll tell you, well, what do you think? They'll let you figure it out for yourself. Trust me from experience. Coming from a shitty promotion isn't all that comes in, or, you know, equates into making a professional decision. It's how you carry yourself outside of that situation. Now, some people say, I mishandled what I did. I mishandled what happened to me. Again, this isn't all about me. I'm just setting the record straight. If you get fired via Facebook and not face-to-face, the company that does that to you is nothing but a bunch of cowards. If you get fired over the phone, like Stone Cold Steve Austin got fired by Eric Bischoff, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Do you know why? Over the next few years when he went into WWE, he didn't make money right away, but when he transitioned into Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1996, transitioning from the ringmaster, you take a look at Stone Cold's professionalism, because he's kind of bummed that he lost his job in WCW. He was in ECW before that. There are a lot of things that people don't understand, the grind and the grit. They just see what they see present day. They're like, oh, you know, he was great beforehand. I know he used to be in WCW. You know what kind of professionalism it took for Stone Cold to keep a level head and keep his head up, and he didn't bitch, he didn't gripe. He was just kind of, man, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do. But I think I'll just keep on going. With his size, with his ability to pick up, you know, he was professional, showed up to the arena 2 or 3 hours early to get a feel for the venue. And this is from a book that Stone Cold wrote a long time ago when I was in middle school, I believe. And the book told his story about how, you know, he didn't get paid much, and he was always on the road, and he was always wrestling, he's always working, and then have time to take a look at what was going on in his personal life and how did he keep it professional. You know, him and Vince McMahon have a great working relationship, just like Paul Heyman and most of his former workers, but some of his former workers may say some bad things. I don't know. I can't speak for any of the former ECW guys because I barely fuck know them. Guys like Sandman, guys like Tommy Dreamer. Paul Heyman gave them a platform to put on display what they were and how they intended to display it to fans. There's a lot of shit that people don't know that goes into being a professional. It's definitely difficult to keep a smiling face of someone who talks shit. It is definitely difficult because why? You want to keep a job, right? You don't want to lose a job. I'll tell you why. There are certain people that are nuts that want to kill wrestlers because they hate them so much. So how do you keep it professional when there's a guy coming into the arena with a gun? How do you keep it professional when you have people coming in to tell you, man, there's a guy or a gal in the audience, you got a gun? And my first response, if that were the case, is it loaded? And am I going to be safe going out there? You know, I want security. I want the whole nine. Bet your ass I'd be scared. You bet your ass I'd be scared if someone carried a fucking gun into the arena. Now, how do you keep it professional? How do you keep it calm and cool? I ain't going to lie. I'd be nervous as fuck. Now, how do I go around in circles with the subject issue? Because I told you, eventually I make my valid points. And today I'm going to continue the discussion through which I discussed yesterday about Nia Jax keeping it professional and what was the, you know, not, okay, what was the reason and why she let them, did she do the right thing? And how, you know, that compares and contrasts to what Leo Rush did. Obviously, he's being put on a pedestal and it's not in a positive light. So can that change? To answer your question, yes, things can change. Yes, things can definitely move forward. So I guarantee to you, it's going to get real interesting, folks, here in a few seconds, because I got a full hour to discuss with you more about keeping it professional in the wrestling. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. Nia Jax was reported being that she left the company. that wasn't very correct at all by the source that did that and reported it. And he had to apologize because that's not accurate at all, or wasn't accurate. Accuracy in reporting, because, you know, people read their phones 24/7. I'm guilty of it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, I don't read my phone all the time. The point where it gets annoying, folks, is when you have to read about someone's opinion about why she left. And read a couple blogs about why Naya decided to leave the company in the first place. Some of the words that are said about superstars can be hurtful. And they're not, you know, a stranger to these things. Just like if you decide to make a comment about somebody that you barely knew or barely knew at all, and what place do you have when it comes to this stuff? I mean, honestly, if I know something about someone, guaranteed, if it's good enough and juicy enough for gossip, then it's show worthy, right? But out of professionalism, I've got to report the facts. He made that shortly after Emma's release, thinking that, you know, it would be some kind of joke. Someone got released. Someone decided, hey, you know, maybe it'd be a great idea if I hop on Twitter and I say something about a female talent and her release. I mean, it's not a big deal in a sense that he apologized afterwards, but it is a big deal to me in the sense that whenever, you know, it was brought upon him to make a response, it was a knee-jerk reaction, and it wasn't, I'm doing this out of sincerity. Now, does everyone apologize from sincerity in the past in WWE and any wrestling company like Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling? No. Just like the whole Jeff Jarrett incident about him being drunk. I guarantee you, there's going to be issues concerning the fact that, for those of you who don't know, Jeff Jarrett was accused of being drunk, being abusive, this, that, the other. I'm not diving into that mess. But the professionalism amongst us media people kind of just goes out the window, because you're kind of put on a pedestal by the professional community of, you know, Smarks and all the other fans. I'm not going to totally dive into the Jeff Jarrett issue. However, I am going to dive into the, is it correct that you leave somewhere if you're not feeling comfortable? If you live in the past, you won't ever be able to move forward. That's the famous saying, right? If you dredge up the past, you're just as bad as those that supposedly treated you bad. Well, I have something to say to those people who love to fork out advice. I'll heed that advice because it's true. The reason I bring up my past a lot is because the way things were left, yeah, I created that barrier, because here's the deal. I left opposite of why Naya left. I didn't leave to come back to a place that, you know, really didn't want me there in the first place. And second of all, I left because I'm a lot happier now. Look, I'm on a podcast. It's growing. It's going to grow. And on top of that, folks, I'm able to travel a lot more. I've been able to basically have fun, which is what you're supposed to be having in this business. Not all sunshine and daisies. I realize that. I realize that from the very first get-go. Okay? Not everyone is your biggest fan, and you figure that out the hard way. Okay? Not everyone is going to worship the ground that you walk on. So why did Naya leave WWE? When you're told, you know, hey, we want you to be the powerhouse of the company. We want you to come in, and we want you to just make things a living nightmare for the women's division. Her character seems like a soft teddy bear. if you take one look at who she's lost to, I mean, they've let her lose to Bayley. They have booked her to lose to Sasha. And some people say, well, it's not about winning or losing when you get booked. Keep in mind, one win over someone bigger than your size may not be the issue to some, but logically speaking, Rey Mysterio versus The Big Show, that was more of a David and Goliath element, right? I'll get to the point, James, as soon as I can. Give me 1 second. So the point I'm trying to make to you is taking time out, weighing the pros and cons of where, you know, you're supposed to be. She probably said to herself, is this really what I want in my life, is to be known as the setup girl or the setup woman? A master in that position was Jake the Snake. And they're getting fed to Hogan. That's who the guy was. That was Jake the Snake. He didn't cut a lot of corners, trust me, because that dude worked his ass off. I actually met him at Unspoken Word 2, and now that you ask, does that mean I know him? No. But I can guarantee you, he can tell you stories of how the company that you work for better keep your mouth shut so you keep good relations with him. And yeah, he did fall out of touch a little bit with different demons in his life, right? Did Nia fall out of the company because of her demons? No. She fell out of touch because she was unsure. It's like, should I really be doing this? When you're when you have an opportunity to wrestle for a big name company, and it's not just Ring of Honor, it's not just Impact Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Revolver, what you should understand is that no matter what you go through, you should always weigh your pros and cons in wrestling. Why? Because if you're not happy with what the promoter is doing or saying, get out. Plain and simple, Nia did that. She asked around. She said, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should sit and lose to this Sasha Banks, or do you think I should just leave? Ask advice is the best thing to do, because why? It couldn't hurt. Just say, what should I do? Do you think I? That those phrases in wrestling business means a lot. You know, ask somebody that has experience. I'm pretty sure they'd be willing to put up a lot of pros and cons for you. But you have to be the one to make the decision, correct? I made the decision to be a loudmouth on a podcast. Is that such a bad thing? No. Nia made the decision to come back because she realized, you know, I have a greater purpose in life. I have a greater purpose in life than just being what I am. Okay? In other words, she has decided to come back. And some people speculated, oh, she's going to Ring of Honor. Oh, she's, you know, she's following in the footsteps of Cody Rhodes. I don't think so, because obviously she is back with the company. And I'm pretty sure that her and Sasha get along just fine. There's no issue between the two of them. However, they feel like there's something that could be fixed. There's something that could be better. And that's always in the mindset of a professional, right? But do they go directly to the head honcho in charge and be like, I think that you should change this. I think that the proper way that a wrestler should come up to a boss is going to be different than what other people may think. Because professionalism goes a long way when it comes to being or making yourself go far in this business. Sometimes it's hard to keep your mouth shut. But don't people make the mistake of saying, I believe that I've earned this right. I used to be that way. There's a form of entitlement that comes to mind when you think of your own wrestling career. So how do you keep it professional in front of a promoter who barely fuck knows you? Well, also, how do you observe a promoter into what he or she is doing, and what is their promotion worthwhile of putting yourself through the grind to be in their promotion? It's called reading between the lines, man. Some professionals, some promoters, and some may agree with me, some may disagree with me. Some promoters, they play favorites, some do not. By favoritism, I mean if they already know the person, why book a person they're not familiar with, right? They've got to see videotape, they've got to see social media following, because that's huge. It plays a huge role now in pro wrestling. So how do you keep it professional? I've had people come at me after the fact that I was fired. All I asked to be was, you know, left alone. How did I keep it professional? Whew, let me tell you, that aspect of it got ugly between me and said owner. Don't matter now because, like I said, I'm not going to drag anybody's name into this because now, you know, when you have someone credible at your school, word gets out and people start coming to train with them. What I'm getting at is when I got those messages from somebody telling me that I couldn't say anything bad about them, that I couldn't really, you know, relay my or harbor my ill feelings towards them, guess what, folks? I kept it professional and I relayed right back on my show how I felt because it's inappropriate to send messages on Facebook that you're not going to be sure of. What I'm talking about is it's really hard to be professional with a group of people whom with which has probably fucking been, oh my God, we're on his show again. We made wavelengths. No, you really haven't because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you think for 1 second that people forget what you did to them in the wrestling business, you can either do one of two things. Get the fuck over yourself because your shit, you know, you think your shit doesn't stink. Two, pay attention to how you handle situations because it ends up making you look like the fool if you call somebody out for not being able to make a show. Three, Nia Jax, how she handled her situation comparatively speaking to Lio Rush. Oh my God, Nia gets an A. Lio gets an F. Why? Is it because of personal indifference with this guy? No. I have only seen, you know, maybe a little bit of his shit. And, you know, he's gotten the opportunity and now he's kind of making a mockery of it. Do people not realize that when you're in the WWE, it's not the glory for all that you think it is because you've got to work your ass off to get to the top. That doesn't just go for WWE. That's for every company. New Japan, Ring of Honor, PWG, ICW. And these aren't names I'm listing off for sympathy. These are names I'm listing or company names that I'm listing off that have a huge, huge reputation throughout the wrestling world. Now, like I said, if you decide to leave a company, it should be because, okay, I've managed to work my ass off. You know, I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm dissatisfied, so I'm leaving. For those of you who like to play games and sit there and troll people, well, she left because she was called fat, or she left because she wasn't the number one woman in the locker room. That is a crock of shit, too. And so when fans the difference between a fan handling shit and a worker handling shit, I don't know, because you're told from a small age, if you are uncomfortable in a situation, you don't sit there and keep going back to that uncomfortable situation. You do what? You leave. I've repeated myself a million times over in different wavelengths and different sentences that tend to ramble. But here's the honest to God truth. If I get to a company that I work for and I worked really hard for, and I make a fool of myself, what if some of you say you probably already did, but it's not making a fool of myself, considering I'm telling the fucking truth about people who really don't want to hear just how bad they really are, because I'm not going to waste my time doing that shit. I've done it probably several times on this show and Wrestle Radio. What I am going to relay to you is, if you can't realize that something is shitty and you're one of those stubborn people that you must be a glutton for punishment, all I can tell you is, I'm not you. You make the decisions. And what does it matter what I think? Right? When you see a ring and you think, oh my God, it's been a dream of mine. I've never been this close. It's so cool. And then you go into the business and you see local promotions. You see where they're at. And then you start getting an outside opinion that starts helping you formulate what you do. Some people piggyback off opinions. Some people are, you know, claiming to be self-made. That's okay. But why? What was the basis of the decision from Nia Jax in the first place? One of the main reasons is, like, should I really lose this match to her? Because it doesn't make sense if you look at things from a logical perspective. This is not an underdog versus the most heavily favored person. Now, granted, Nia, like I said, she gets along just fine, but the decision by the booking team for WWE to basically say, you're going to lose to Sasha Banks, what would the purpose have been? Now, if it were for a spot on, you know, Survivor Series, it would make sense. What I'm getting as I'm advocating for Nia is because she was so friendly. A lot of the fans that have nothing but nice things to say about her. I guarantee you I'm not the only nice person. Granted, is she going to have an asshole that says something bad about her? Sure. Sure, I guarantee you you're going to have someone say something mean about you in this lifetime. And keep it professional. Here's my thing. If you say you're going to be at a show and you're really not, and it's due to family obligation, that's fine. If you're just meeting up with a friend, you know, people cancel. But what's really irritating is I flew all the way to Kansas City to visit my nephews, okay? I'm already tired and jet lagged. I decided a long time ago to pre-order, you know, Tales from the Ring tickets to a Sammy Callahan or his promotion, Pro Wrestling Revolver. I had a damn good time. My only irritation was I drove 2 hours and 44 minutes on Iowa's highways, which needs to be, you know, better lit because you're going to cause accidents. Not that anyone goes to Iowa in certain regards, but Jesus Christ, man. The reason why I'm irritated is because you say you promised you're going to be there, and you weren't. You just weren't. And how did I keep it professional? I didn't bitch about you the entire night, because obviously I can do it on here, right? And you're going to claim fame to making me? That's cute. I called only because I needed a form of escape. My mental capacity was not having it, man. Or I was not. I did not have the mental capacity to continue. And yeah, you did intervene and help. The man I'm referring to is the host with the most. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now. When you say you're going to be somewhere, please remember that I have sources that tell me that you said you were there and you were not. So keep it professional and tell me, hey, dude, I'm not going to make it. I show all the way up to the venue, you know, and you're not there. If it was for family reasons, okay, I completely understand. But telling another person that you were actually present at the event makes you look bad. I don't have a child, but here's what I'm going to touch base with. If you have an obligation and you bail out, it makes you look bad as a worker. You know, it's just a fan thing, right? If it's a fan, it's okay, correct? I'm not mad anymore. I just was upset at the situation because I could have spent time with friends. I could have spent time elsewhere. But I didn't because I bought the ticket, so I might as well go to the event. Here's the thing, folks. When you find a friend in the business and you know, they claim that they know the business more than anyone or just as good as anyone else, make sure you do a thorough background check on those people. Because if they're wearing bunny outfits like one asshole did when I was in St. Louis, and disagreed with my theory that some fans have the IQ of fucking 12, they do. And then some fans read news sources and report as if they were associated with Vince McMahon or associated, you know, with different people that are around this business. And you know it's a crock of shit because you just sit back and you keep it professional, right? How are you going to tell me that Vince McMahon wrote you a letter, a two-page handwritten letter, and not have the fucking proof for it? Can someone please enlighten me as to how I'm supposed to be a writer for SmackDown Live when I don't have a bachelor's in writing degree, nor do I have journalism degree, nor do I have internships or internship with WWE? So what I'm getting at is, you want me to keep it professional. Okay, here's my professionalism. It's not out the window, but my frustration is coming full force. See, you want to sit there and act all innocent and say that you didn't do shit. I paid $1,300 for, you know, us to be appeared at WrestleMania, just for us to have a booth, which cost an additional $400, by the way. The point is, you want to keep it professional, please don't lie. I mean, take pictures, if you will, if you're at an event. If you're a podcast, right, or you're a wrestling owner, you take pictures so that fans won't think everything is askew. And also, dude, this is just getting off my chest, okay? I'm sitting in Detroit, chilling. You lock your keys in the car. Now, keep in mind, I'm not one to, you know, really brag on someone because they ended up getting to the venue on time. But Jesus Christ, man. There's a reason why they call B-Train good old reliable, and that is because, yes, I may be a blind ass, but I get people to the venue. And also, when it comes to keeping things professional, dude, I know that airing out my grievances isn't quite being professional, but I have to let this shit off my chest because it's been boiling and festering for a whole fucking year. And by boiling and festering, how am I keeping it professional if I didn't tell you face-to-face? Because you ignore me? you don't listen? I mean, how am I supposed to take you seriously if, in fact, you know, you run a show for 8 years, correct? How am I supposed to take things in a professional sense if I keep babying you with, oh, you know, I was just really bad, I was just doing this for the fans? When you allow two assholes to infiltrate our territory, I think there's something wrong. That's why I don't trust very many people in this business. It's because of the simple reasoning. If you're that dumb to let enemies into Wrestle Radio's territory so that someone else can get viable information, and then, only then, you look through my phone, I'm guaranteeing you did, and you swear up and down you didn't. Well, folks, here's the deal. I'm not cutting a promo, although it pretty much sounds like I am shooting on someone like I normally do. The reason why I say keep it professional is because if you're in the wrestling business, there is no ifs, ands, or buts when it comes to making yourself known in front of fans. I am who I am because that's just me. I'm just straightforward. And if people tune me out, oh, you're too negative. Oh, you know, you talk too much shit. I don't talk about what bothers me majority of the time. What I do is I basically relay to the fans how things are in the wrestling business. And if this is considered a pipe bomb, I'm laughing my ass off because guess what? For the last 2 years, ever since SummerSlam, and I have been able to get myself out there as a platform, but then I get lied to. Oh, it's like I haven't lied to anybody? No, here's the thing. I'm not perfect either, but at least I have the balls to fucking admit it. You want to dig through my phone and send people shit? That's fine. But all that means is you are nothing but a low, conniving little snake who tries to piggyback on the success of what I'm doing. Granted, you know what? Who was the one to get guest for the show? Because I asked. It was just a simple question. And you lied and said you didn't know how to screenshot something. Which begs the question, my friend. Were you telling the truth about a certain somebody that I would like to know if everything that you say is the fucking truth? Keep it professional, they say. I've been professional for the last 2 years, and now I think, if not anything at all, I am being a consummate professional. Do you know why? Because I don't have the ability to go to this dude's house and say, hey, you know, this is what I feel, this is what's going to happen, because, you know, using certain things for leverage, I helped create you. No, motherfucker, you did not. I have rights to my name, jackass. I have what I like to call the Enzo Amore royalty check. If I start making shirts, guess what? People will buy it. That's the kind of cockiness you think that I am? No. I don't think. I know, but word gets out to certain people, dude, about who I am. You want to know the difference between you and I? You and I can sit down and have a conversation like family. But then, when my back is turned, why do I feel like a bunch of knives are going up in my back? And you may call me paranoid, you may call me whatever you want, but here, the fact of the matter is this. You haven't owned shit in a while. To call somebody out on their shortcomings, here it is, dude. It took literally just a few days to get up into the upper hundreds for likes. Now we're stuck at 210 on Wrestle Radio. Keeping it professional? Okay. Here's the deal, For folks who don't know what I'm talking about, I've been on a podcast for the last 2 years. I've been relaying you to about wrestling news, traveling to make our page bigger and badder on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. You want to talk about you have power in this business? What, locally? Locally, you have power? What you need to understand is the following. I kept it professional for a year and a half. I sat back and I listened to all the bullshit. The reason why I didn't confront you with it, sir, is because I felt the need to, you know, just listen to see how far this was going to go. And when you can't tell me that no executives are going to come at us and then make up some bullshit as to why, you know, or how we're going to be involved at WrestleMania, and I have to fork some extra money out of my ass just so we can get a table or a booth so people can be aware of our podcast at WrestleCon. And to find out later that it wasn't needed, so I got my money refunded. So you want to sit back and say that you don't lie? How is that keeping things professional? You want me to just be quiet and be the cutesy little act at the end that gets mad all the time? I'm not sitting here to do this for my own health, man. I'm sitting here basically putting my foot down with people who obviously don't keep it professional. And that is, you know, you created the podcast, more power to you, but you didn't do fucking shit with it. And I don't honestly think that, you know, this is a Marty Jannetty getting kicked through glass moment, because I'm not obviously as big as Shawn Michaels. I've been told that I can't make something of myself, I can't do anything with myself. I'm doing pretty damn good for myself. What makes it worse, you know, is you try to just assume that the conversation is all about you. Guess what? If you were to have any decorum, any form of manners, you would sit down and when spoken to, just put your two cents in. It's not that hard, motherfucker. It really isn't. Okay? If I can sit on a B train or a Q and manage to do a show or manage to set up a show, because half the time I'm borrowing my aunt's tablet, half the time I'm in my room in Brooklyn. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. It takes me a while to realize who people really are. So then I have to just put this out there. If anybody is experienced in journalism and loves professional wrestling, you can message me at 816. Actually, you know what? Just message me through Facebook. That's safer. B-Train, Facebook Messenger. And if I find out that it's a fucking fake number, that's okay. I already have spoken with another individual who I believe would be a good candidate to be the co-host, new co-host of Wrestle Radio. Because what it boils down to is, here's the thing. I don't like telling people. You know this. I do not appreciate. Because I tend to get more stressed out, and I stress out myself. And I appreciate the fact that you listen to me, but I don't appreciate the fact that I was lied to even further, and then you go behind my back and do it again. It sounds like a fucking marriage. It fucking sounds like a dysfunctional marriage to me. And I don't, you know, here's the thing. When you're a broadcast journalist, shouldn't you be posting stuff that fans are interested in? Well, I don't know. Joey Ryan, Candice LeRae, Sandy Callahan, Jack Swagger, because some of those names do mean something still in the world of professional wrestling. I'm upset. I'm upset and I'm heated because, number one, when you fly 3.5 hours, you're not really looking forward to a 2.5 hour drive. Because, like I said, I went and saw my nephews, barely, and then they were kind of upset that I wanted to go to a wrestling event rather than spend Halloween with them. And that makes me look like a complete asshole. But you know what? I do like professional wrestling, and I do love my nephews. And I was torn in between the two. But since I paid $40 for two tickets, might as well go, right? Was the ticket for the host with the most? No. Because when you're told I have VIP seating, this, that, the other, little lies turn into big lies, right? So how do you adjust yourself? How do you make things better? I ain't perfect either. But my thing is, if you're going to relay me a message or tell other people behind my back what I truly think of them, okay, that's just one opinion. But don't, and I repeat, do not make a mockery out of a wrestling podcast which you own, and it's been 8 years. Keep it professional. I'm going to say this right here, right now. If you own something, make sure I believe why it is that you own it. Okay? And also, when you make a decision, you have every right to back out. But I'm just saying, it bothers me to no end. You know, for the last few years I've had to hear, I helped you get there. I helped you do this. In a way, dude, it's not you helped me. You jumped and seized an opportunity, which I'm still unsure of to this day on how you fucking got me. Oh, but wait. When it comes to tirades, I can make valid, very valid points. One of those being, if you were a part of a wrestling company and you heard somebody say something, they barely knew who you were. It's weird because it's like you ask the source, like, did he really say this to you? And when they say no, kind of, you know, raise your eyebrows at that situation because it's like, does he or does he not know you? It's like, okay. So local and independent promotions are your thing. Not everybody's cup of tea, dude, is the indies. But you know what I have mad respect for is the men and women who actually go through the grind and do that shit because they eventually hope to make a name for themselves because they know in their heart that this was what they were meant to do. I have no ill feelings towards anybody from the indies. And the sad part is I'm getting feeling that I, you know, when I'm around certain people, they give me the look as if to say, motherfucker. And it's weird because I think so-and-so said this about me or said something about me. Should I fucking care? No, because since you've known me, what have I been known for? Aside from bitching about what bothers me and also just pointing out to people, you know, this could be a good venture for you or this might help. I have been barely in the business, okay? I respect guys and gals that can give advice to people who actually want it, they actually want to follow through with what they're doing, and not people that try, you know, one thing and then turn around and do something completely different. In other words, if you're in a bad business relationship, it's time to cut ties. As I've been doing episodes by myself, instead of, you know, me bettering myself, it's kind of made me somewhat bitter and somewhat annoyed because I want answers. And the sad part is, what's worse is when you lie to a good friend of mine, and he knows. So I'm not going to delve into what kind of personal shit that you told him, because here's the thing. This is not Maury Povich. This is not Jerry Springer. This, however, is off the rails, uncensored. I'm supposed to be talking about things that are going on in professional wrestling. But I had to take time out to express to you all exactly how I feel about the host with the most. When you like claiming fame, is it because you feel emasculated when someone else does something you wish you could have done? And when you make up stories, dude, does it make you feel any larger than life telling bullshit to some people who don't barely fuck know you and give you the look like, you know, okay, for reals, we were sitting at WrestleMania. And to be a part of WWE was a big deal, right? To find out later that the table gets pulled because there's not enough space or there's not enough room because you have to pay extra amount of dollars, that's one thing. But when you don't even contribute for the trip, when you don't even help pay gas, and you're sitting on the podcast talking about helping contribute, you don't even pay for your own food, you never paid for mine. I brought money. I'm not broke. But it is annoying when I dealt with moochers in the past who just used me for a ride because, oh, B-Train won't say anything. He's a really nice guy. Blah, 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 blah. I put the fuck on because, honestly, what purpose is it serving if some of those guys came up to me and shook my hand? That meant a lot to me because there are some guys who won't do it because of the things that I said. But then there are those who just said, no, fuck it. He was cool with us and we'll be cool back with him. That's keeping it professional. Never once do I get messages, you know, on Facebook. Never once do I get messages on certain social media. I don't give a fuck because I'll eventually see you in person, right? You have no fucking clue what it is like to sit and feel complacent about your wrestling career. You get burned out because why? All you had was practically the same guest, right? So then when someone tells you, you know, you should change things up, you get frightened and you run away. Guess who came along and did that? Pointing things out, when you point out the faults of others, it makes you an ass. In my humble opinion, if I'm pointing out his faults, here's the thing. I've been known as a bullshitter as well. But when it comes to stuff that I love, yeah, there were times when I made up huge lies to just impress people. But that was back in the day, like years ago when I was, you know, not so bright when it came to bullshitting with the wrong people. In other words, keep it real with me and I'll keep it real with you. You understand? As for now, the host for the most, you know, if he decides to come back on Wrestle Radio the entire fucking episode, he'll be on mute. I'm not playing. I'm not afraid of the repercussions because I'm the one fucking paying for this shit. I'm the one paying $39 a month since March 16th, 2016. So for a whole year, guess what, motherfucker? I've been owner of this show. And when you promise to help out, you never fucking do. So keeping it professional, I don't want to go on Facebook and do it because that's how someone did me. So I figured on here, I'd tell you that you're fired because honestly, if you're going to help bring people, that's great. But your role, if you're in professional wrestling and you notice something is not right, just completely negates the reason why you do this shit. It made me want to quit because here's the thing. I just got burned down on my shit. I don't know, because you start up something, dude, and then you don't fucking finish it. So how is that being professional? Let that sink in, folks. When you have an obligation to be a podcast host, even with family, yo, come at me saying, I really don't like you doing the show because it takes time out from your chores or it takes time out for you helping your grandmother. You know how that irks me is because I fucking love this shit. But I make time out to do that shit before I do the show. I know it's different because I don't have a child and that I should be more empathetic with him in certain regards, but that's not what I'm talking to you about. I get sick and tired of having to pull the weight for certain people. And by all means, is this a show firing? Kind of is, because I own the show now. I am in the legal process of getting the rights and everything put in my name. Oh, wait, because I paid for this show, paid my dues for this show. And also, granted, you know, there's been historical guests in the past, but there's nothing to show for it. Every time there's a website to be built, it's not being built. Every time that you say, we're going to have this guest on our show, I get my hopes up. Like Donovan Dijak, you had to jump through hoops? Really, motherfucker? There comes a time and a place when you lose shit. Now, granted, you figured out how to put our episodes on iTunes. That's cute. Keep it professional. So they tell me. Well, dude, here's the fact. Two words. You're fired. I am done being lied to. I am done with, you know, things not going the way they're supposed to. That's how friendships go. Not everything goes your way. I get it. I understand. Not every friendship is perfect. But when it comes to a professional setting and you make us the mockery out of the whole schlemiel, then, you know, I have to pull the plug because I honestly feel like there is something that needs to be announced. Because I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. I really am. So I'm doing something about it because the wise man once said, if you are not satisfied with where you're at and what you're doing, keep grinding until it doesn't hold any place anymore in your heart. My heart has stiffened because of all the bullshit. And it's, you know, I'm tired of being told, thank you, that, you know, thank you this, thank you for that. Some people are fucking sincere about it, man. And some people, like you said, you know, deserve an apple spit on them, like Carlito style, because, yeah, you helped me, but then you want to say, like, I'm the one who helped make the show. I'm the one who, no, motherfucker, you did not. You did not claim anything. You're not going to claim anything because here's the thing, guy. Who's the one that created the Instagram page? Who was the one that helped out with the Twitter page until I just got fucking tired? Because it's a dual partnership. Someone has to help me. So if you guys are interested, I'm going to hold open auditions. 213-943-3422 for an actual podcast host, because I am going to admit something to you right now. I cannot do this shit by myself. I cannot. It's getting to the... Yeah, we spent time in Orlando, Florida. Phew, like Wrestling Revolver shows, you spent $110 over, and it was worth it, yes. But what was annoying? The fucking fact that, you know, pulling strings, again, for a WrestleMania appearance by us. We're not in the company. And you're not going to believe what so-and-so is going to make us do for our press badges. Like, are you for real, bro? I've got message proof, but I ain't going to post it on a fucking website because I'm not that petty. What I am going to tell you guys is, whenever you get into a partnership with somebody, make sure they're legit. Make sure that they're not just blowing hot air at you. A lot of people like to douse on certain superstars because of the way they carry themselves professionally. I take note of what is appropriate in the business and what's not. Okay? So, after a while, the level of professionalism that has been displayed in front of me over the last 2 years has been non-existent, okay? So whenever someone says, hey, you know, I got this great idea, I'm going to be open to it, but if I see that it's shit, I'll ask other people, like, hey, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? It gets annoying. Spoken to this individual since Wrestling Revolver. He was not present, and I don't care what his excuse was, but here's the thing. When you say shit like, I know people that can make or break your reputation, put your money where your mouth is. It's not just WWE that I care about, and you claim to know certain people like a high official, John Cone. Okay. That may be true, and I don't discount that claim. But I'm more of the person that if you don't have a picture validating what you're doing or who you're talking about, then why in God's name should I believe you? Or why in heaven's name, my bad. I don't want to get into a religious debate here. Why should I believe you? I know there's people here that are, I would, but I can't because I'm busy. 213-943-3422. I'm having surgery in 3 weeks, folks, so I just thought I'd cut up some loose ends while I'm got the chance, because I'll be unavailable for a little while, but when I get to being sane again and being able to see a screen, you bet your ass I'm going to be back on here full time. In 3 weeks time, and on November 28th is when I'm going to have the surgery. And granted, and there are certain things that I don't look at when I look at the host of the most as being bad, but not a good partnership. It's time for this to end. This is not a, you know, this is not a, oh, hey, ha ha, I got you, April Fool's joke. It's not April, obviously. This is a for real, you know, fucking thing. I don't fucking care, you know, because some of you I'm going to share this episode with, because it needs to be heard. My voice needs to be heard. How am I going to do that? Couldn't tell you, because I'm going to find ways to get myself on a social media platform that will make it bigger and badder. It's not about having the most glitzy and glamorous shit online, but you know what? Something has to give, because if there's a way for me to make revenue off of doing this shit, you bet your ass I'm going to fucking do it. Why? Keep it professional, as the title said, right? I'm going to find ways to get another host that's actually reliable. Then even if they have a kid, you know, even if they have stuff going on, they'd be more willing to do it. And if you want to contact me, dude, I'm all ears. I don't care if you think you made me. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I kind of have the polar opposite effect of being nice to anyone anymore when it comes to, you know, hey, we're going to do this, Brian, and we're going to do that. Everyone breaks their promises, right? Promises weren't meant to be kept, apparently. Promises were meant to either be 100% or they're meant to be broken. And the reason why I'm milking down the entire clock is because when you say the word professionalism, that can take on a whole different meaning. So normally, like I do, I'm going to just do it like this, okay? We're going to look up on Google.com the definition of professionalism. Bear with me for just a second. Okay, so professionalism, the competence or skill expected of a professional. Whew, it takes on a whole new meaning now, don't it? I show up on time every day. Don't change the fucking time. You know why? The only time I would change the time is occurred, you know, if our guests could meet at a certain time, that's when I do it, okay? Especially if they, I can't make it at this time, but I can make it at this time. We'll make an adjustment. But every 2 months, every couple, what the hell? Anyhow, I figure before I go watch the World Series in a couple hours, I don't know who's going to win, I don't care, but I am going to tell you, if you decide to be on this show, then I suggest you keep it professional. If you have something to say to me, you don't say it on air, or you could, you know, if you want to air your grievances. Yeah, this is kind of fun. It's been a while since I've got off my chest what needs to get off the chest. I hope to do some live video feeds from Houston, yo. And to keep it real with you, I'm going to have me a blast in 3 weeks. So, toodles, bitches. I'm going to have me a damn good time. You know, I have everyone's attention now because it feels great. Feels fucking great to do what to exact what I needed to exact, meaning I got off my chest what I needed to get off my chest. It's fun as fuck. And I love what I do, and I'm going to be brutally honest with any worker, but I'm going to keep it professional. Toodles, bitches. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Can't wait to see you all on the 17th through the 20th. Bye, for real this time. Be sure to download this episode free on iTunes. Cheap plug, I know. Bye. Okay, who decided to be a smartass in the truck? Just go ahead and play it, please. Please.
The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality.